Now Lord Chaitanya is going to be describing to Sanatana Goswami his teachings, because he's asked them, Sanatana Goswami has asked some questions. Sanatana Goswami has asked, Kami. What does Kami mean? You can translate? Who am I? And also, Kene Amai Jara Tapatai. Why do the threefold miseries always give me trouble? I do not know this. If I do not know this, how can I be benefited? I don't even know how to inquire about the goal of life and the process of attaining it. So he's going to explain specifically these questions. What is the goal? How to attain it? Being merciful upon me, please explain all these truths. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied by glorifying Sanatana Goswami, saying that actually you're the right person to propagate the cult of devotional service, and you possess Lord Krishna's potencies, and you know all these things, but because it's the nature of a sadhu to ask, to inquire, to confirm, so to be strict about the principle, you are asking. So I shall tell you all the truths of devotional service because you are fit to spread this. Pravartate. You are fit to propagate. So the first thing he says, as we read yesterday, the first truth that he's going to tell him, the basic principle, is Jivera Sarupoi Krishner Nityadas, that the jiva, the living entity, the soul, his swarupa, his actual form, his nature, his constitutional position is eternal servant of Krishna. Krishnaya tatasta shakti, and is the marginal potency in Veda Veda Prakash. It's a manifestation of Krishna that's simultaneously the same as Krishna, but different from Krishna. Veda Veda Prakash, that kind of a manifestation. And then he gives examples. Suryam Sakira, like a ray of sun. Agni Jalchai Svabhavika Krishnera Tina Prakara Shakti Hai. So Krishna has these varieties of energies. So then he explains further. So this is the first principle. Who are we? Who am I? That we are Krishna's eternal servant. Eternally, we're Krishna's servant. So what question immediately comes to mind? If this is who I am, I'm Krishna's eternal servant, what question comes to mind?
How did I end up here?
How did I end up here? I made a wrong turn somewhere, and I ended up on the expressway going the wrong direction. Just as the illumination of a fire, which is situated, so he's going to explain our relationship with Krishna, just as the illumination of a fire, which is situated in one place, is spread all over, the light coming from the fire is spread everywhere, even though the fire is in one place. Similarly, the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Parabrahman, are spread all over the universe. Quotation from the Vishnu Purana. Lord Krishna naturally has three energetic transformations, and these are known as the spiritual potency, the living entity potency, and the illusory potency. So he Mahaprabhu quotes from the Vishnu Purana, Vishnu Shakti Paraprokta Chetragya. That's the first one, Chetragya. Chetragya, that term is used in the Bhagavad Gita, the knower of the field, of the Chetra. Chetragya kya tatapara. He is spiritual. The soul is spiritual. Avidya karma sangyanya, the Vishnu Shakti, that's the first potency, Krishna's internal energy. Then the Jetragya, the spirit soul, which is the Tatastha Shakti. And Avidya karma, which means the Maya Shakti. Tritya Shakti Ishite. You should know that there are these three energies of the Lord. And he's already explained, he just explained that the soul, the Chetragya, is Parashakti, just like the Vishnu Shakti. So we have the qualities of the internal energy, but we are tiny. The same as Krishna, but yet different, nevertheless. Originally, Krishna's energy is spiritual, and the energy known as the living entity is also spiritual. However, there is another energy called illusion, which consists of fruit of activities. This is the Lord's third potency. This is also a quotation from the Vishnu Purana. So, the illusory potency, Maya, of course there's different ways to understand Maya. We can understand Maya as the ingredients of this world. The earth, the water, the fire, the air, everything. But we can also understand Maya as the illusory potency that causes us to act in a fruitive way. Who can explain why that's Maya?
Because Jiva is not an enjoyer, he's a danger.
That's what he's first explained. Krishna Nitya Das, Krishna's eternal potency. And to act fruitive means self-centered based on false ego. So that is Maya's prime function in relationship to the Jiva. It has to do with false ego, a false sense of being independent from Krishna. We say false sense or mood of being independent from Krishna. It's false because it's not possible for us to be independent of Krishna because we're Krishna's energy. Then the next verse. All the creative energies which are inconceivable to a common man exist in the Supreme Absolute Truth. These inconceivable energies act in the process of creation, maintenance, and annihilation. So there are so many energies. There's the creation and annihilation, that's tamagun is annihilation, creation is rajagun, and the maintenance. So these are all Krishna's energies working. So everything that we perceive and don't perceive, they're all the different workings of Krishna's energy. He's that powerful. O chief of the ascetics, this is from the Vishnu Purana, just as there are two energies possessed by fire, namely heat and light, these inconceivable creative energies are the natural characteristics of the truth. Also from Vishnu Purana. And then more from the Vishnu Purana. O King, the Chetragya Shakti is the living entity. Although he has the facility to live in either the material or the spiritual world, he suffers the threefold miseries of material existence because he is influenced by the avidya, nescience potency, which covers his constitutional position. So this tatastha. Tat means, in Hindi, what does tat mean? On the border, on the bank of the river, it's called tatastha. So it's borderline, so that the tatastha shakti can go just like the shoreline. It can be covered, or it could be land, it could be water, it could be land. So similar, depending upon what influence it's under. The influence of water becomes water. If there's no water, it becomes land. So either way we could go. But influenced by Maya, avidya, it covers his constitutional natural position. So that means that every living entity is acting unnaturally. This living entity, covered by the influence of nescience, exists in different forms and material conditions. O King, he is thus proportionally freed from the influence of the material energy to greater or lesser degrees. So if we're in a monkey's body, we're so covered. If we're in a very exalted brahmana's body, we are less covered, depending upon the influence of the three modes of material nature upon us in the material world. But beside these inferior energies, aparyayam, idastvanyam, prakritim vidime param, jiva bhutama bahu, teredam daryate jagat. But beside these inferior energies, Almighty Om, there is another superior energy of mind which comprises the living entities who are exploiting the resources of this material inferior energy. Forgetting Krishna, Krishna Bhule says, Jivanadi Bahimokata Eva Mayatare Deya Samsareda Duk. Forgetting Krishna, so when we turn our back on Krishna and forget Krishna, the living entity has been attracted by the external feature. From time immemorial, we want to enjoy the material energy. Therefore, the illusory energy, Maya, gives them all kinds of misery in this material existence. So this is the basic philosophy of Krishna consciousness that Sanatana Goswami is hearing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here's Srila Prabhupada's purport. When the living entity, because this is the beginning of the Sambandha Gyan, the knowledge of the living entity, of Krishna, their relationship, and other items as well. Time and the process to escape. Karma is also Sambandha Gyan. When the living entity forgets his constitutional position as an eternal servant of Krishna, he's immediately entrapped by the illusory external energy. So as soon as we forget Krishna, immediately, as soon as there's no light, immediately there's darkness. The living entity is originally part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore the superior energy of Krishna. He is endowed with inconceivable, minute energy that works inconceivably within the body. So what's an example of how the soul is so inconceivably powerful that he works in inconceivable, understandable ways within the body? What's an example?
You're facing the other way and I'll touch you on the back. You're conscious of me touching you.
Yeah. Consciousness is spread throughout the body. You're always not aware of it. What's another example? The digestion of food is quite inconceivable. The ability to see is so inconceivable. The ability to pump blood and to nourish the different parts of the body. The growth of the body. The healing of the body. The healing of a wound on the knee. Quite inconceivable. How does it work? It's being powered. Solar energy. It's green. So he can power this machine, the brain. How does that work? It's so complicated. Like you, like right now we're hearing some words, but in 1 second you can think of the place you were born, and you can put your mind there, and in 1 second you can think of any person. You can think of your friend, or you can think of your mother, or you can think of, did you ever have a dog? Oh, you poor boy. Deprived child. Okay.
Lucky.
Did you ever have a bird?
No bird.
No birds. Okay. Duck? That's why Krishna sent you with all those ducks.
All the ducks.
All the ducks. So, the mind can do amazing things. And you're not thinking of something, and you're trying, you have a problem, and suddenly, boom, the problem can be solved by Krishna. Anyway, so the living entity, however, the living entity, forgetting his position, is situated in material energy. He is called the marginal energy because by nature he is spiritual, but by forgetfulness he is situated in the material energy. Thus he has the power to live in the material energy or in the spiritual energy, and for this reason he's called marginal. Being in the marginal position, he's sometimes attracted by the external illusory energy, and this is the beginning of his material life. We have an attraction to enjoy this material energy. When he enters the material energy, he's subjected to the threefold time measurement, past, present, and future. Past, present, and future belong only to the material world. They do not exist in the spiritual world. The living entity is eternal, and he existed before the creation of the material world. Unfortunately, he has forgotten his relationship with Krishna. The living entity's forgetfulness is described here as anadi, which indicates that it has existed since time immemorial. One should understand that due to his desire to enjoy himself in competition with Krishna, the living entity comes into material existence. 118. In the material condition, the living entity is sometimes raised to higher planetary systems. Anyone would like to go to Swargaloka? There's no rain there, if you don't like rain. There's no cold, if you don't like cold. Everything is just right. Beautiful gardens, just play, so much burfi, everything is there. He sometimes raised to higher planetary systems and material prosperity, and sometimes he's drowned in a hellish condition. His state is exactly like that of a criminal whom a king punishes by submerging him in water and then raising him again from the water. So in the United States they had this in one place in the early days when the United States, they said that was how they punished people. They brought them to a lake, and they had some kind of a lever, and they put the people in the seat and they tied them to the seat, and they'd bring them over the lake of water, and then they pushed this side up and they went into the water, and just when they were almost dead, drowning, they'd pull this down again and they'd come up, and then the person would go and then that's material life. That's the punishment. That's material life. In the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, it is stated, Asango hi ayam purusha. The living entity is always free from the contamination of the material world. One who is not materially infected and who does not forget Krishna as his master is called Nityamukta. In other words, one who is eternally liberated from material contamination is called Nityamukta. From time immemorial, the Nityamukta living entity has always been a devotee of Krishna, and his only attempt has been to serve Krishna, and thus he never forgets his eternal servitorship to Krishna. Any living entity who forgets his eternal relationship with Krishna is under the sway of the material condition. Bereft of the Lord's transcendental loving service, he is subjected to the reactions of fruitive activities. When he's elevated to the higher planetary systems due to worldly pious activities, he considers himself well situated. But when he's subjected to punishment, he thinks himself improperly situated. Thus, material nature awards and punishes the living entity. And when the living entity is materially opulent, material nature is rewarding him. When he's materially embarrassed, material nature is punishing him. Now, what to do in this situation? We've turned our back on Krishna, and therefore there's so much suffering. So much suffering. What to do? Now he's going to quote a verse from the 11th canto. Mahaprabhu is. Bhayam dvitiya abhinaveshatasyad ishad apetasya viparyato smiti tanmaya yato buddha avijatam bhaktyaika esam Guru Deva Tatma. When the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, why do we say it's separate from Krishna? It's Krishna's separated material energy. You know what the example is that Prabhupada used to use? Anyone know?
He's recording voice.
Yeah. You ever heard that one? So there's a tape recorder. So if the tape recorder, like, we can hear Prabhupada's voice, and on one level we say that Prabhupada's there in his voice, but it's not actually that he's fully there, in the sense that, say we hear a class of Prabhupada's, and Prabhupada says, any questions, and we raise our hand, but no one calls on us. And then if we ask a question, Prabhupada doesn't answer in the lecture anyway. So it's separate. It's his energy, it's his voice energy, it's his instructional energy, but it's separated from him and not exactly him. So when the living entity is attracted by the material energy, which is separate from Krishna, so it's Krishna's separated energy. It is not different from him, but it's not exactly him. He's overpowered immediately. Soon as he's separated from Krishna, which comes from trying to enjoy the material energy, he's overpowered by dvayam. There's a duality, a sense of duality. And he's overpowered by fear. Immediately, that's what happens. And therefore, fear is the basic principle of this world. Because why? It's so natural, in the sense that we're trying to deny our relationship with Krishna as our protector and as our dearmost. And therefore, breaking that relationship in our consciousness, we're alone in a very, very very, very sad, a very, very dangerous position in this world. So immediately fear comes. Some people admit it, some people don't admit it, but everyone is ultimately fearful. He's overpowered by fear. And because he's separated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead by the material energy, his conception of life is reversed. He thinks, viparyato smriti. Everything is upside down. His conception is upside down, reversed. In other words, instead of being the eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes Krishna's competitor. There's one verse in the sixth canto of the Bhagavatam that describes how even our material bodies, they are created by Lakshmi Devi, by the energy of Lakshmi Devi. It sounds very like secret information, but looking at it in the way that we usually think of it, is that our material bodies are product of the material energy, which is under the control and created by Durga Devi. And Durga Devi is a manifestation of Lakshmi and ultimately Srimati Radharani. So everything, so the our material bodies are created by the Supreme Goddess of Fortune ultimately, and things that are created by Srimati Radharani or Lakshmi Devi, who are they meant for? They're meant for Lord Narayan. And when someone tries to steal that which is the internal energy and use it for himself, for his own pleasure, that which is meant for Lord Narayan, or in the best example, is if one tries to steal Sita from Ram, then whose sampradaya is he in?
Ravan.
Yes. In other words, there's enmity immediately. When we try to even use our own bodies for selfish pleasure, we're immediately competing with Lord Ram, with Krishna. Even though we are not really meant to be Krishna's competitor, we're meant to be his eternal servant. So he becomes Krishna's competitor, and this is called Viparyato Smriti. Upside down, reverse situation. And to nullify this mistake, one who is actually learned and advanced worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead as his spiritual master, his worshipful deity, and the source of his life. He thus worships the Lord by the process of unalloyed devotional service. This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.2.37. It is an instruction given by Kavi Rishi, one of the nine saintly personalities called the nine Yogendras. When Vasudev, Krishna's father, asked Devarshi Narada in Dwarka about devotional service, it was mentioned that previously King Nimi, who was the king of Videha, was instructed by the nine Yogendras. When Narada Muni discoursed on Bhagavad Dharma, devotional service, he indicated how a conditioned soul can be liberated by engaging in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. The Lord is a super soul, spiritual master, and worshipable deity of all conditioned souls. Not only is Krishna the supreme worshipable deity for all living entities, but he's also the guru or chaitya guru, the super soul, who always gives the living entity good counsel. Unfortunately, the living entity neglects the Supreme Person's instructions. He thus identifies with the material energy and is consequently overpowered by a kind of fear resulting from accepting himself as the material body and considering paraphernalia related to the material body to be his property. All types of fruitive results actually come from the spirit soul. But because he has forgotten his real duty, he is embarrassed by many material consequences such as fear and attachment. The only remedy is to revert to the service of the Lord and thus be saved from material nature's unwanted harassment. Mahaprabhu continues. If the conditioned soul becomes, so now he's moving, this is a summary of the material condition and now the way out. If the conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious by the mercy of saintly persons who voluntarily preach scriptural injunctions and help him become Krishna conscious, the conditioned soul is liberated from the clutches of Maya, who gives him up. This divine energy of mine, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome, but those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. The conditioned soul cannot revive his Krishna consciousness by his own effort, but out of causeless mercy, Lord Krishna compiled the Vedic literatures and its supplements, the Puranas. The forgetful conditioned soul is educated by Krishna through the Vedic literatures, the realized spiritual master, and the super soul. Although through these he can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is, and he can understand that Lord Krishna is the eternal master and the deliverer from the clutches of Maya. In this way, one can acquire real knowledge of his conditioned life and come to understand how to attain liberation. So, now about more on the Vedic literatures. The Vedic literature gives information about the living entity's eternal relationship with Krishna, which is called Sambandha. The living entity's understanding of this relationship and his acting accordingly is called Abhideya. Returning home back to Godhead is the ultimate goal of life and is called Prayojan. Devotional service or sense activity for the satisfaction of the Lord is called Abhideya, because it can develop one's original love of God, which is the goal of life. This goal is the living entity's topmost interest and greatest wealth. Thus, one attains the platform of transcendental loving service to the Lord. When one attains the transcendental bliss of an intimate relationship with Krishna, he renders service to him and tastes the mellows of Krishna consciousness. The following parable story may be given. Once a learned astrologer came to the house of a poor man, and seeing his distressed condition, he began to ask him questions. The astrologer asked, "Why are you so unhappy? Your father was very wealthy, but he did not disclose his wealth to you because he died elsewhere." Just as the words of the astrologer Sarvagya gave news of the poor man's treasure, the Vedic literatures advise one about Krishna consciousness when one is inquisitive to know why he's in a distressed material condition. By the words of the astrologer, the poor man's connection with the treasure was established. Similarly, the Vedic literature advises us that our real connection is with Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although being assured of his father's treasure, the poor man cannot acquire this treasure by such knowledge alone. Therefore, the astrologer had to inform him of the means whereby he could actually find the treasure. So just knowing that you're wealthy is insufficient. Knowing that we have a relationship with Krishna is insufficient. But we have to uncover it, the relationship, just as the poor man has to uncover his wealth. So there's a process of uncovering it. Actually, the astrologer said, "The treasure is in this place. It's right here. But if you dig towards the southern side, the wasps and drones will rise and you will not get your treasure. If you dig on the western side, there's a ghost who creates such a disturbance that your hands will not even touch the treasure. If you dig on the northern side, there's a big black snake that will devour you if you attempt to dig up the treasure. However, if you dig up a small quantity, just a little bit of dirt on the eastern side, your hands will immediately touch the pot of treasure." So Prabhupada in the long purport explains the meaning of the northern side and the southern side and the western side and then the eastern side. We'll just read about the, see if there's something a little on the eastern side. The mystic yoga process is the black snake. The eastern side, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states, the eastern side represents devotional service to Krishna. The southern side represents the process of fruit of activity, karmakanda, which ends in material gain, The western side represents Jnanakanda, the process of mental speculation. And the northern side represents Jnana, sometimes known as or the mystic yoga system. It is only the eastern side, devotional service, that enables one to attain life real goal. The revealed scriptures conclude that one should give up fruitive activities, speculative knowledge, and the mystic yoga system, and instead take to devotional service by which Krishna can be fully satisfied. So that's interesting, because it says by this process, who will be fully satisfied? Krishna will be satisfied by devotional service. He'll be satisfied. And then if he's satisfied, then we become satisfied. So usually we take to devotional service not thinking, oh, this will satisfy Krishna, but we take to devotional service thinking, oh, if I take to devotional service, then I will become satisfied. And this is not the way to perform devotional service. But automatically, naturally, if we satisfy Krishna, then we become satisfied. So it's exactly the opposite to the way the material mind thinks. And that is where devotional service begins, to act in such a way that Krishna is satisfied. And then he quotes from the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam. My dear Uddhav, this is Krishna speaking in the 14th chapter of the Uddhav Gita, in the 11th canto. My dear Uddhav, Krishna is saying, neither through Astanga Yoga, nor through impersonal monism, or through the analytical study of the Absolute Truth, nor through the study of the Vedas, nor through austerities, charity, or acceptance of sannyas, can one satisfy me as much as by developing unalloyed devotional service to me. That is what satisfied me. Yata bhaktir mamur jita. Being very dear to the devotees and sadhus, I am attained through unflinching faith and devotional service. This bhakti yoga system, which gradually increases attachment for me, purifies even a human born amongst the dog eaters. That is to say, everyone can be elevated to the spiritual platform by the process of bhakti yoga. So I am attained through unflinching faith and devotional service. Ekaya grahaya. Bhaktyaham ekaya grahaya sadayatma priyasatam bhakti punatimam nishta swapakam api sambhavat. I am attained through unflinching faith and devotional service. And what it does is it gradually increases one's attachment for Krishna. And this is what we are trying to do, to become attached to Krishna. And then the turning away from the material energy towards Krishna is very simple. It's completely natural. Why? Because there's natural attachment and attraction to Krishna. And otherwise it's so difficult. If we try to force ourselves, it's so hard because our mind is somewhere else. But if we become attracted to Krishna, his beauty, his pastimes, his qualities, his name, then the turning to him and also the detachment from the material world that comes with turning to him is completely natural. So anyone can take to this. There's no prerequisite. Even someone born amongst a dog eater in Cantonese, in the language spoken in
Hong Kong and Guangzhou, the name for dog meat is Heng Pin, which means fragrant flesh, because they think it is very tasty. And there was always just, there was always, if you have a dog there, they always kidnap them. Well, not always kidnap them, but they, there's a big problem. People kidnap dogs. And you know what they do when they kidnap them?
Okay.
Yeah, and then after that they, yeah. But even if someone is coming from that background, if they perform devotional service, they can be elevated to the spiritual platform. So wonderful. Because Krishna is pleased, because they're attracted to Krishna, because they're attached to Krishna. The conclusion is that devotional service is the only means for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because it's a way of pleasing Him, and then when He is pleased, everything is accomplished. The conclusion is that devotional service is the only means for approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This system is therefore called Abhideya. This is the verdict of all revealed scriptures. When one actually becomes rich, he naturally enjoys all kinds of happiness. When one is actually in a happy mood, all the stressful conditions go away by themselves. No extraneous endeavor is needed. Similarly, as a result of bhakti, one's dormant taiche bhakti phale krishna prema upajai prema krishna swada hoila bhava nashapai. As a result of bhakti, one's dormant love for Krishna awakens, and when one is so situated that he can taste the association of Lord Krishna, material existence, the repetition of birth and death, comes to an end. The goal of love of Godhead is not to become materially rich or free from material bondage. The real goal is to be situated in devotional service to the Lord and to enjoy transcendental bliss. In the Vedic literatures, Krishna is the central point of attraction, and His service is our activity. To attain the platform of love of Krishna is life's ultimate goal. Therefore, Krishna, Krishna's service and love of Krishna are the three great riches of life. Krishna, Krishna Bhakti, and Krishna Prema, these are Teen Mahadhan. These are the three wealths of life. Krishna, Krishna's service, and Krishna Prema. In all revealed scriptures, beginning with the Vedas, the central point of attraction is Krishna. When complete knowledge of Him is realized, the bondage of Maya, the illusory energy, is automatically broken. A little bit more, because then this section ends very soon. There are many types of Vedic literatures and supplementary Puranas. In each of them, there are particular demigods who are spoken of as the chief demigods. This is just to create an illusion for moving and non-moving living entities. Let them perpetually engage in such imaginations. However, when one analytically studies all these Vedic literatures collectively, he comes to the conclusion that Lord Vishnu is the one and only Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's a verse from the Padma Purana. When one accepts the Vedic literature by interpretation or even by dictionary meaning, directly or indirectly, the ultimate declaration of Vedic knowledge points to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna said, this is from the 21st chapter of the 11th canto, what is the purpose of all Vedic literatures? On whom do they focus? Who is the object of all speculation? Outside of me, no one knows these things. Now you should know that all these activities are aimed at ordaining and setting forth me. The purpose of the Vedic literatures is to know me by different speculations, either by indirect understanding or by dictionary understanding. Everyone is speculating about me. The essence of all Vedic literature is to distinguish me from Maya. By considering the illusory energy, one comes to the platform of understanding me. In this way, one becomes free from all speculation about the Vedas and comes to me as the conclusion. Thus, one is satisfied. The transcendental form of Lord Krishna is unlimited and also has unlimited opulence. He possesses the internal potency, external potency, and marginal potency. That's two more verses. Or three verses. No, it's a little more. Any questions up to this point? It's a complete before he explains everything in detail, because he's going to explain the topic of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojan in the next three chapters. But he's giving a summary. He's giving a summary of all three right here, and then he's going to explain all the different incarnations. The 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam reveals the 10th object, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the shelter of all surrendered souls. He is known as Sri Krishna, and he is the ultimate source of all the universes. Let me offer my obeisances unto him. Krishna is the original source of everything. He is the sum total of everything, but he appears as the supreme youth, and his whole body is composed of spiritual bliss. He is the shelter of everything and master of everyone. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. Okay, let's stop here. What do you think of that? Definitely. Generally, it's said philosophies for the morning, and stories are for the evening.
Interesting that in the beginning, the definition of the living energy is described as very actively
spread.
Normally, we would consider living energy to be the temporary manifestations of matter, and how we perceive them in an illusory way.
Well, that's what fruit of activities is.
Right. It's
looking at the material world with the spirit of enjoyment, which is basically what you said.
Mm. Yep.
That's what Maya's business is to color the consciousness so that we see the material world as if it's meant for our pleasure. That's specifically what Maya does. And that's called fruit of activity, to act in such a way that you're going to get pleasure in relationship to the material world. Acting to get the fruit.
Mm-hmm. So, therefore, the illusory energy is not forms of matter in themselves.
Well, that's also part, it's a product of the illusory energy.
A product of it.
Yeah. There's different forms of the illusory energy. The covering, but also the ingredients of this material world, the things that the material world are composed of. This is described in the beginning of the in the third canto, three times or so, how the creation takes place, and it's based on false ego. Mm-hmm. And then false ego combined with the mode of ignorance and the mode of goodness and the mode of passion produces everything of the material world, from subtle to gross.
Therefore you can say that they're almost like the matter itself doesn't have a context without the false conception.
It doesn't have
a context without the false conception, the false ego.
But it's not called matter then.
Right.
That's what Prabhupada said. Mm-hmm. He says that in the Bhagavad Gita, that when the material and energy is covered by Maya, it is called matter.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's Krishna's energy.
Right.
Still huh?
Still spiritual.
Yeah, but right. Just like the good people of the world, the good citizens, when they see the policeman, they see one thing.
Mm.
But when you're a criminal,
yeah,
when you see the policeman, you see the enemy.
Yeah.
But it's the energy, another energy. They look differently at the police and the grants commission or the education department. But from the government's point of view, they give money to both. They're supporting both. It's all based on their power, on the government's power. So how to make this the great turning? That's the question. All the information is given, but how to make the great turn? And the indication was it's by attraction to Krishna. And it's done easily. And how to get attracted to Krishna is by good hearing, and also by the Panchanga Bhakti. The hearing, the chanting, the dham, the deity, and association, and the holy names. Any other points or questions?
Krishna bhulya ji bhog vancha kare. Nikatasthe Maya take jhapke pare. So that means that he has no idea of the material universe.
Who's the he?
The living entity. Only when he forgets, then he is immediately cast into the material consciousness. Previously he doesn't know what is material consciousness. So as soon as he has this concept of having some different enjoyment,
Bhogavansa.
Yeah. Only then it's a shock for him to be immediately cast into the material consciousness. And then he is in this cycle. And he has to get out of it after he realizes that he has made a mistake. It wasn't really what he actually would have liked to get into.
He believed the advertisements. Made a impulse shopping, buying. He bought something he shouldn't have.
Seems like.
Just like when you look at the travel brochure. But it's nothing like that when you get there. I want my money back. Sorry. You're already there. But also seems that it's not an innocent choice that he's made. It's not like he just make a mistake or something like that. There's actually envy and enmity with Krishna that causes us to turn away from him and go to the material world.
When he is in the spiritual world, there is no envy and no jealousy. And how come that he
That one we don't. we don't do that one. Prabhupada answered that one. He would say that there is always, because there's free will, there is always a possibility to turn from Krishna. So it's interesting, it's not caused by Maya, because there's no Maya, but it's caused by a misuse of free will. So how can the soul misuse its free will like that? That's the meaning of free will, that he can do it.
Only if the soul has the propensity to enjoy.
Well, he does have a propensity to enjoy, but it's the wrong way to enjoy. But the natural way for him to enjoy is in relationship to Krishna, being a predominated enjoyer. But actually, in the Madhva Sampradaya, they say that there's some souls who are born with a, or not born, but with a eternally averse to Krishna.
Is it Krishna's design or the soul's design?
Well, in that Sampradaya, I don't know the details, but it's more like that's the way it is, you know. Sorry, yeah. you're born a criminal. Too bad. So I guess so, but I know that if we take it that it's Krishna's design, and neglect our free will to turn back to him, then we stay here forever.
That shows that there is some ignorance crept in the living entity, even when he is in a spiritual kingdom.
Situation. But they can't, obviously there can't be ignorance in the spiritual kingdom, so it's quite inconceivable. And obviously, also for us, in the material situation, we can't conceive of what it's like in the spiritual situation. For instance, there's no time. So the whole question is a very tricky question. But the way Prabhupada answered it again was that there's always a chance to misuse your free will. Otherwise, there's no meaning of free will. If you have a free will, but you can't, you can only think one way, then it's not really free will. So as soon as there is free will, there is the possibility of misusing the free will. If there's no possibility, then it's not free will. Like everyone can vote. You can vote for anyone you want, but there's only one person running in the election. So there's no, and you have to vote. So you don't have any. So that's not really a vote. So unless there has to be at least, there has to be a choice.
That's why he's voting himself.
Who?
The person who is supposed to vote. Because there is only one person, so he is going opposite of Krishna and voting himself.
Yeah, so then he has at least a choice. He has a choice. But you can see in that way that everyone gets one vote. And when they tally it up, everyone votes for themselves as the most important, wonderful person. So it's a tie. That's what the material world is. And then they come together, everyone comes together, and it's like, let's discuss who's the most important person. And all it is a big fight. That's the material world. And then they make parties. Let's all say that we're more powerful, so we can convince them by force that we're the most important. So it's a horrible place.
This dilemma has been expressed. पत्ता भी अगर हिलता है तो उसकी रजा से फिर बंदा गुनहगार है मालूम नहीं क्यों even if a leaf moves, it is by his great will. Then why is it that we are responsible for all our miseries?
Because
why are we culprits? When everything is being manipulated or run by his will, then what we do, right or wrong, is also part of his will. Then why should be we faulted and punished? This is the question.
Yeah, but that doesn't take the point of free will in there. So then, but there is free will.
How much free will we have?
But Baladeva Vidyabhusana, he answers this question very directly,
mm-hmm.
by saying we do have free will. Otherwise, there would be no reason for the Lord to give the Vedas and the Puranas and say, if you want to go to heaven, even do this, and if you want to do this. We're not forced. There is free will. He explained in the prayers of the personified Vedas, this is explained very clearly, and also in the Vedanta Sutra. There is free will. So then the question is, what is the relationship between Krishna and our free will? If it's fake free will, he calls it free will, but we don't really have a choice. Like, you can vote for anyone you want, but there's only one person in the other running, and you have to vote, then of course that's not a real vote. So if he's actually controlling us, then there's no free will. There's actual free will. That's the conclusion. So it's Krishna's control that he allows you to do as you like. That's his point in it. Otherwise, and why does he allow that? I knew one devotee who struggled with this so heavily.
It's a real mysterious question.
And then he got so upset that why didn't Krishna make me with no free will? And just because it's the problem is the free will. So then, of course, he didn't stay long because he was so angry with Krishna for not making him Vishnu Tattva or something. But free will is the most wonderful thing if you use it well. And Krishna, and that's instead of taking the point that Krishna's in charge of everything and this and that and why like this, but instead of all that, just take it in a very simple way that we're Krishna's, naturally Krishna's servant, and let me just offer him something with my free will, with devotion, instead of fighting him on the point. Just be a good boy and just do something with devotion for him. And that's the point that Prabhupada took, and that's the point that he makes in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 11th canto, in one of his purports. He says, "It's Krishna knows why we're here, but we can't know how and why we got here. Krishna knows. But more important is to get out. But we'll sit and I see myself doing this too. You try to figure it out instead of just doing something with devotion for his pleasure. And that's the reason why we don't do that, is because of the enmity with him.
It's the ignorance.
Huh?
It's the veil of ignorance.
It's the veil of ignorance, but the veil of ignorance covers those who... those who don't want to serve Krishna. Because just that verse we read, even a dog eater, person born in that, if he just performs some devotional service, and even a little bit, then it's just a matter of time. And Krishna has made it so easy that just chant Krishna's name. And still, in that little cartoon that Prabhupada saw, the someone is telling the man, chant, 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 and he replies, can't, can't, can't. So it's almost the same. Yeah, it takes the same effort to say can't as to chant to say Krishna's name, but we can't. We can't do something for Krishna. Even a little bit will bring us so close.
It's the level of consciousness of two people who say chant, and the other who says can't. Totally reversed. Far from each other, even though it seems clear it is so easy. Just say thank you.
Well, that's what Prabhupada insisted on this point. Just do it. Stop thinking about it and just do it. Just do it the way Krishna wants instead of the way you want. So, of course, there's we are very, very determined. There is no one in this world who is weak. We're all very determined to be opposed to Krishna.
It's quite mysterious.
The mystery is why we're so foolish, yeah? And then, yeah. Well, that's what Narottama Das Thakur says, Janiya Shunya Bisha Kainu. Why do I drink this poison again and again? And therefore, we need some special kindness on us. Yes.
Bhajan Baba, when the soul being Kachit Ananda, so is it possible, I'm just curious, is it possible when we purify ourselves and we come to that stage of
of being who we are.
Yes, who we are. Does that knowledge within us, the soul, will it sort of give us the idea of how will this happen? Or is that knowledge just refers to the fact that we are in full love of Krishna?
No, you know everything. You know everything. If you want to know that, you can know that. Prabhupada also described it. Susupti, deep sleep. But yeah, once we're free from the shackle of the material energy and unbound by finite consciousness, then we can know. Because now, how can we understand something that happened beyond the sphere of time while we are caught in time?
Then the fact that don't ask those questions, just get out of the well. Get out of the hole, then you will eventually know it makes sense.
But you won't care once you're out. Once you're out of the well and dancing again, you don't care how you fell in.
The main thing won't be how did I, why did I, or it'll be your love for Krishna will be the predominant thing in your consciousness. Because it is really irrelevant.
If you win the lottery, you don't care how you won. You know, well, how did I win that? How did I become a millionaire? How did this really happen? How can I have more money than I can spend? Oh, I don't know how this happened. No, it's okay.
Or like if you come home from your journey with something dirty, and you find something dirty and smelly on your cloth, and if you spend the next 3 hours sitting down trying to work out how on earth and where that came from, much better we just pick up.
Just clean it.
Get yourself cleaned up.
Yeah.
Function of intellect is to analyze, to know. It's natural, you see. We can say why he is doing like this, why he is not doing like that. But intellect is a faculty, and that is its natural function.
But the intellect is insufficient to get us out. It's bhakti that can get us out.
And also the intellect must discriminate where it should dwell. Otherwise, dwell on something.
Yeah, the scientists use their intellect. They're such intellects that are so powerful and huge. Huge. They can just put it on anything, just go so deeply into it like that, but it's not enough to, they can just study this little piece of wood for their whole lives and understand it in such great depth that that will never get anyone out. But if someone who's simple just offers Krishna a leaf of fruit or some flower or water, then he can get out. But if we have intellect, then we have to learn how to use it properly. That's why the scriptures are there to study for those who have that kind of intelligence.
Have faith in them, which is not the function of intellect.
To have faith. The intellect function is to doubt.
Intellect function when it has sorted out everything and then has reasoned out everything, then it will choose or select or be convinced.
But the problem of taking the path of jnana, and that's what mental speculation is, that you're using something of the material world to try to understand the material world. You have to have something outside of the material world to understand the material world. That's why Manaratena Satodhava told Bahi that you can't understand by something who's covered in ignorance anyway. How could the person who's in the ignorance understand the thing that's covering him? It's not possible.
Blind and blind, leading blind.
Yeah.
If you're in there, then you can't explain to someone else how to get out.
Because you don't know. But the intelligence is of the material world. It's a material energy. So how could something of the material energy understand something beyond the material energy? So that's the plight of the person who has the tendency of jnana. And on the other hand, there has to be something beyond the material energy to teach us how to get out, and that's Golokera Premadana Hari Namasankirtan, and the Shastra that's coming into this world, and the deity that's coming into this world, because this is like the rope that's been put down the well that we can hold on to.
I was reading that our covering was created by, was inflicted by Maya Devi, and speculation is also inflicted by her. So you can't use both of her creations to get out of it. This is exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Yeah. Because you need something outside.
Oh, yeah, that's right. With both.
So where does the faith come from? That surpasses even the intelligence to trust Krishna, to trust the Shastra, to trust the holy name. Where does the faith come that will go beyond the limits of the material world? That comes by the grace of Krishna, but that comes by, how does Krishna give us grace in this world? It's through the association, through the devotees. And that's what he explains that in the Bhagavatam is that. That Krishna's devotees are Krishna's mercy. In two ways. One way is that he works through them, and the second way is they carry his Kripa Shakti. Also in the Bhagavad Gita this is explained.
Wait for the Ahetuki Karuna Krita Gonu Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade by Bhakti Lakavi. So I don't know how long it takes to become that Bhagyavan. What makes one Bhagyavan?
But one question is, if we could sit and wait, who gave that example? I know there's a Chinese expression that there's a kind of person, that one time a person, there was there was a I think a dog. He was waiting somewhere. There's a Chinese phrase that says this. This dog was waiting somewhere. He was hungry and he was waiting. And suddenly a rabbit came running along. And it was running out of fear. And it ran into a tree. And it died. So the dog had his meal. So from then on, he just waited by the tree for the next rabbit to come along. but of course, it doesn't work like that. So you have to do your part, and then your part is insufficient, but it's necessary. And the whole Dhammadhar Leela, that's one of the main points in that. The rope is always two fingers too short. One part is the parisrama, the hard work of the devotee, and the other part that really bridges the whole gap is the Lord's causeless mercy. So there are things we can do to attract the Lord's mercy, and the main thing is to humbly need it. Mm-hmm. We work, but then humbly understand our own lack of a qualification, but not wait like the dog for the rabbit. But rather we do our part and know that our part it's insufficient, but we have to do our part to attract Krishna's mercy, but ultimately it's up to him. That's one of the messages of the Dhammadhar Leela. But Krishna's Kripa Shakti became evoked by the sincere and full endeavor of Mother Yashoda. Take that back, it's not getting late, it is late.